Welcome to Nevada Newsmakers. On the broadcast today, State Senator James Settlemyers. We have less than 2 weeks left in the session. Plus on the Power Pundit panel, Brian Wachter takes the lead. It's all coming up next on an all-new Nevada Newsmakers.
All systems check. All right, Sam, let's go check out some D&D roof.
Hey, Ken. From up here, you can really tell the difference a quality D&D roof makes.
You're right, Sam. With our experience, knowledge, and staff, nothing compares to a D&D roof.
Hey, look down there. It's our D&D roofing crew.
I'll bank the plane. We'll get a closer look. Sam! You watch your company's bottom line, and I'll cover the top of it.
Nearly 200,000 Nevadans work in retail businesses, supporting families and the community. Nevada's retail businesses generated over $2 billion in sales tax revenue in 1 year, including nearly $700 million to help our schools. Shop around and see all that Nevada's retailers offer our state.
We're the Retail Association of Nevada, representing thousands of Nevada businesses.
Businesses that work for Nevada.
Take a look at Pro Group Management and see how your workers' comp requirements can be met head-on. By taking a proactive approach, Pro Group can assure that your company is meeting or exceeding state and federal standards. As you move forward in your industry, Pro Group moves with you, simplifying regulatory tasks, clearing the way so you can get the job done, and look to your future success. Pro Group Management. Workers' comp that works for you.
Early in the morning or throughout the night, professional truck drivers are on the job, serving you, safely moving freight that's crucial to our economy. From the oldest industries to our newest innovators, from the exotic to the everyday, trucks are everywhere, moving everything. Never afraid to embrace a future that makes Nevada and our nation stronger. Trucking moves America forward.
This is Nevada Newsmakers with host Sam Shan, a no-holds-barred political forum. Now, from the Nevada Newsmakers broadcast headquarters, here is Sam Shan.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers with 2 weeks to go in the legislative session as we tape this. We're in Carson City in the state capitol in the old Supreme Court, and we're joined by State Senator James Settlemyer. Pleasure to have you back on the program, sir.
Pleasure to be here, Sam.
Okay, so the LCB, Legislative Council Bureau, put out a ruling that said that you could extend these taxes without a two-thirds vote in both houses. That goes against the Gibbons Amendment, and you are not pleased about that, and you are looking at potential legal action here. With less than 2 weeks to go in the session, this could mean special session.
Yeah. You know, the concept of the legal ruling came out went far beyond that. It wasn't just the question of the trigger, which is the basis of the modified business tax and the commerce tax. It went beyond that. It said that all sunsets don't sunset, that once they're there, they continue on forever. Matter of fact, they introduced another bill, the $1.50 technology fee at the DMV. They changed the sunset on that, and it's listed now as a simple majority vote, which breaks all precedents of that building and goes against, as you said, the tax restraint initiative. It also even says that if they want to lower thresholds, so currently right now for the modified business tax, it has a threshold of $50,000. It's indicating if they want to drop that, that's their decision by a majority vote. That's never been done before, never been interpreted that way.
All right, so what kind of legal opinions do you have so far? And where does this go first to district court if you decide to go that route?
Correct. You know, I think it's going to be a situation if they decide to go down this road. Personally, at the end of the day, I don't think they're going to. If you look at the budget, there's plenty of money. It's just a question of where they want to spend it and how much they want to spend. And that's the real question of the day.
All right, so when you say there's plenty of money, give me an for example
sure.
That people can understand.
If you look at the FMAP, we just closed the HHS budget yesterday, Human Health and Services budget. So you have the federal medical assistance percentage. We came in below on our prediction of number of people who would be applying and how the rate changes. That created an excess of $40 million. And if you go to the K-12, the original estimate of how many students would be involved was off. And so we're going to be saving another $28 million there. Our biggest parts of the budget are education and HHS, Human Health and Services. Beyond that, if you go to higher ed, we've already cut $35 million out of their budget. If you look at the Economic Forum, came in with a forecast. You know, they come out every so often and tell us what they think we're going to be doing. That's $42 million. You add all that together, that's over in excess of $145 million. And overall, if you look at the state budget, it grew 11%. 11% higher in revenues than we were last time.
All right, you bring up higher ed. Is higher ed just devastated in the growth that they were anticipating for the next biennium?
I don't think they're decimated. There are some decisions that were made by the majority party. We voted against some of them, talking about what should be done as far as the funds for UNLV versus UNR. UNR in the past used these funds to do one shot. UNLV put it to ongoing projects, and that created the problem for them in many respects.
K through 12, we've come up with a new funding formula from Mo Dennis. The unions don't appear to be pleased with this. How do you feel about it?
You know, obviously I represent rural Nevada, and I think it decimates rural Nevada. The Nevada State Education Association, NSEA, calls it a freeze and squeeze, because what it effectively is saying is that they're going to use 2019 as the base year, and then from that point forward, we're going to go through 2020, and then in 2021, they go back to the 2019 base year. And from that point forward, the only increases they get is a CPI, Consumer Price Index, of the Western states, which currently right now is about 3%, and additional enrollment at the new numbers, not the money they earn or how they're earning right now. So it doesn't do much for rural Nevada, to say the least, but it only takes about $58 to $60 million from rural Nevada. And in that respect, is it really worth decimating rural Nevada for $58 million when in the greater scheme of things for Clark County, it doesn't do much?
Where do you think this is heading? I mean, you've been down the wire many times. Where are we heading?
You know, we got 14 days left. So far, the only thing they've asked the Republicans to do is to violate the Constitution. All they want is a one critical vote to violate the Constitution, and that's it. And in my opinion, they're not going to get it. You know, if they want to actually have some discussions about things that should not happen or things that should, or additional funding, my door's open. And I've yet to been over to the governor's office to have that discussion. We did go over to the governor's mansion one time, had a small talk, and basically they said they have the legal opinion and they have the ability to do this without the Republican Party. That's their decision.
Would you agree that LCB tends to lean toward whatever party is in control?
That's just the nature of a lawyer. You know, somebody asks for interpretation and they have legal arguments. Now they're saying that certain court cases came from other states, such as South Dakota and I believe Oklahoma, and those start to question the concept of the two-thirds. However, I've read their constitution and they're not ours.
Do you see teachers in Clark County going on strike?
You know, they've indicated that if they see any cuts to the school in any way, shape, or form, and do not get the 3% raise that was promised by the governor, that they would strike. In that respect, I can't see that they don't in many respects. You know, you look at it, they cut $30 million out of school safety. That's a cut to education. They took money away from the Leadership Scholarship. That is a cut to education. And there's discussion from individuals that they may backfill them from other areas, that they wanted to make just a clear stream of funds to the distributed school account. But we'll see.
What people are saying is that we're just moving money around. We're not adding anything to education. We're just moving money around and then taking money, as you say, from Millennium Scholarships, et cetera, and now moving money from that was supposed to go to the Rainy Day Fund towards education from the marijuana tax. Are you okay with that, or do you think the money should retain going to the to the Rainy Day Fund?
You know, the money was originally going to the Leadership Scholarship and the Rainy Day Fund to try to boost up those numbers. But remember, this was not the money that was voted on by the people. That was the original 15% taxation, excise tax. Instead, we're talking about the additional 10% that the state legislature put on in order to have recreational use. Now it's going to be retermed through his new bill, adult use, rather than recreational use. It always kind of makes me laugh, the whole concept of reclassifying and renaming stuff. That being said, that money was an additional $100 million that we had negotiated for and discussed to go to opportunity scholarships and also to help shore up other programs. You know, at the time, we used it to help fund the medical school expansion down in Clark County. And again, like I said, the opportunity scholarships. But that money is now no longer accessible for us to determine where it goes. That is up to the majority party, and it's their decision to put it in the DSA. Many people say that that's what the people voted for. And I agree in respect to the original 15%. But the 10% for recreational use, I'm sorry, adult use, that is a different story.
Okay, so if you've not had discussions with the governor, you know very well that everybody pays attention to this program at some point or another. What would you say to the governor that he needs to be doing in terms of your caucus, in terms of a conversation?
You know, I look at some of the more radical ideas that are coming out of this session being pushed by the national agenda, which doesn't further the state of Nevada, and it doesn't do what Nevadans need.
For example?
I look at some of the concepts from same-day voter fraud, I call it. You know, they're going to call it same-day registration. I call it fraud. You know, you look at some of these agendas, and it's not Nevada, you know? And we need to look at these things and go, is this really what we want our state to be? And it's not a Republican concept. It's not a Democrat concept. It's a Nevadan concept. And I just really want to make sure that we leave the state a state where people want to move to, not a place that people want to move from.
All right, let's take a break. More with State Senator James Settlemyer when we come back.
Tamarack Junction is South Reno's hotspot with over 450 of the latest slots and video games. Sully's Sports Bar, the Dining Car Restaurant, William Hill Sportsbook, and the Tamarack Steakhouse and Lounge. We're just north of the Summit Mall in South Virginia. Yeah.
How do you shed some light on a better economy? Start with growth inspired by Valley Electric Association. We're a member-owned power company that puts Nevada first, and we're doing big things, like providing prosperity by securing renewable energy projects. For Nevada, that means more jobs and more opportunities, all for a strong statewide economy. In other words, together, we're doing powerful things. Visit us at vea.coop to learn more.
Hi, I'm Eric Robnett, owner of Home Energy Experts. Has this ever happened to you?
Honey, did you remember to turn down the thermostat?
Forgetting to set the temperature? Not fun. We can help. Our new smart thermostat keeps the temperature set for your comfort all by itself.
I'm feeling hot now.
To increase your comfort, go to homeenergyexperts.com for details. That's homeenergyexperts.com.
The signs and symptoms of cataracts can start out small with subtle changes in your vision. So don't wait. Be proactive and take your vision into your own hands. If you're experiencing the onset of cataracts or just have questions, contact your eye care professional or call Eye Care Associates of Nevada today. Dr. Hiss has years of experience specializing in the surgical correction of eye disorders and has completed over 84,000 vision-correcting procedures. At Eye Care Associates of Nevada, we'll change the way you look at the world.
The Tamarack Junction Steakhouse is known for signature steaks, handcrafted cocktails, and world-class wines. Join us Thursdays and Friday nights from 4:30 to 6:30 in the Steakhouse Lounge for live music, gourmet plates, and well-priced wines, just north of the Summit Mall on South Virginia.
This is Nevada Newsmakers.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, we continue our conversation with State Senator James Settlemyer. So let's talk about marijuana lounges, the consumption lounges, and one was legalized, or they were legalized in the city of Las Vegas. Now all of a sudden gaming is rearing its head and putting up opposition here at the legislature to these lounges. I remember probably, 15, 20 years ago when the men's clubs took off in Las Vegas, and that took about $30 million a year away from the casinos in terms of revenue. And I get the sense that they are concerned that these marijuana lounges are going to take away revenue from them again. Do you agree that that's where this is coming from, or what's your thoughts on why gaming? Because legally, according to the Gaming Control Board, any gaming company, any gaming licensee cannot have anything to do with marijuana as long as it's still federally a crime. But we've legalized it here in the state.
Correct. We've legalized it here in the state of Nevada. I think the casinos are very worried about the concept of having marijuana in their establishments that they know about or close enough that it causes a problem where it begins to get the feds. So for some reason, most businesses, including mine, I'm agriculture, I really don't want the FBI coming into my neighbor and searching their entire property. It starts to make you wonder, okay, what are they doing there? What are they looking for? Who's next? And I think a lot of that just comes from that concept that they don't necessarily want to have the federal government, if they come down on any particular thing, involved in their work. So to me, I think it's more of that. And it's not clear. It's vague, to say the very least. I've seen an interpretation, again, from LCB Legal, stating that it's not proper. Again, in the same respect, the city's saying, no, we've looked at it and we can do it. Or Clark County, I forget which one it is, but in that respect, I think everybody's just trying to figure out what the law should actually say. And other states have tried consumption lounges. I mean, it is an interesting situation where it's legal to get, but you're supposed to drive to your house to use it. Well, if you're here as a tourist, where are you supposed to go? Because you're not supposed to have it inside your room at the hotel, again, because gaming doesn't really want to have that situation inside their place.
But let's talk about the reality of the situation. I remember talking to somebody from Harrah's, Lake Tahoe, and I was talking to them about the fact, and this is before it was legal, that the smell of marijuana at their concerts, their huge outdoor concerts, was overwhelming to people that were there. Mm. And I said, you know, how come you weren't able to do something about it? Well, it would cause a major problem if we tried to go in and stop people from doing this. This is now a legal situation in our state. It seems ridiculous. We are promoting ourselves, or at least Tix Eggebloom is, your former colleague and now on the Clark County Commission. And it just seems to me that a lot of businesses are looking to expand what they're doing, good for commerce, good for employment, good for the state, and yet now we're seeing this push against it.
I understand what you're saying. I think there's a lot of aspects of marijuana, though, that we're still trying to look into, such as what's the legally tolerated amount when you're driving a vehicle. And we're trying to look to Colorado, who's been the forefront of this for a long time. No, it does create an issue of what do we do now that it's legalized. But, you know, Vicodin's legal. Many other things are legal, but we don't want them used all the time in general public.
And the police, I think, in this state, in Utah, in Colorado, have been very reasonable in their attitude. The deputy chief of the Reno Police Department came on this program and said, it's legal now. Yeah. We're dealing with it as a legal substance. Now we've got to figure out how to deal with people who are impaired, but it is a legal substance. We're running out of time here for a big subject, criminal justice reform. Mm-hmm. Steve Yeager putting a huge bill together with the backing of Justice Hardesty. Nicole Canizzaro, the majority leader, was on the program last week. Seems like there's a lot of reticence to getting this bill done. Your thoughts at this point?
No, I think there's a lot of room for discussions on criminal justice reform.
But not a lot of time.
And that's the issue of the day. I think there's a lot of things that we've looked at in the past as minor issues as far as marijuana that maybe we're criminalizing at a rate we probably shouldn't. And you look at some of the other things we do around here, and we'll say that it's illegal to do something, but no DA prosecutes it because it's not a big enough issue. Where if you made it an actual offense, a civil offense, you could give them a ticket, and they'd have to pay that ticket, and after paying that ticket enough times, they're not going to want to do it anymore. I think that is, you know, open for discussion. We can have that. As far as the concept of automatically restoring people's rights, you know, when they get out of jail, I think that's something people need to earn if they've been a felon, not something just automatically guaranteed and given to them.
This bill going to die?
We'll see. You know, the time frame, as you said, we're at 14 days. There's a lot of issues that have not been vetted out, from the school funding formula to the counter concept of it, in my opinion, over in the Assembly. Speaker Frierson's AB 309, it looks like doing it a different way. So we'll see what they can get done in 14 days. It'll be interesting.
That's where I got to leave it. State Senator James Heddlemeyer, thank you very much for doing this. I know how busy you are. I appreciate
it. Pleasure to
be here, Sam. And we'll be right back.
Dimitri Prine here for Design Outdoor. At Design Outdoor, we specialize in all hardscapes, pavers, and walls you'll need for everything, from wonderful small yards to full-blown outdoor living. And we only refer the best contractors to make your vision a reality. Our store and backyard are located at 11600 South Virginia, just north of DeMonte Ranch Parkway. Visit designoutdoor.com or call us at 851-9499.
I'm men's rights attorney Marilyn York. And because I represent men in all family law matters, women often call me gender traitor, woman hater, and even disgusting. So why represent men and target myself with these offensive monikers? It's simple. Children with fathers in their lives are 6 times less likely to drop out of school, 15 times less likely to go to prison, and 5 times less likely to commit suicide. So ladies, you can hate me, but please love your children more than you hate their fathers.
Hi, I'm Dave Newman. Remember me? I used to be the house detective, and now I'm a realtor, full-time at RE/MAX Realty Affiliates. And a lot of people ask me, how's the market? You know what? It's fantastic. If you're even kicking around the idea of buying or selling, give me a call. Let's talk about it. Call me at RE/MAX Realty Affiliates and just ask for the guy who used to be the house detective, Dave Newman.
Everyone is talking about opioids, but they're not the only drugs that can be harmful if taken in large quantities or not as prescribed. You also need to be aware of side effects from anxiety drugs, muscle relaxants, sleep aids, and stimulants. Mixing prescription drugs with other drugs or alcohol can be dangerous. If you take an Ambien with a glass of wine, it may be enough to stop you from breathing. Prescribed drugs can be just as dangerous as illegal drugs. Take medications only as directed.
This is Nevada Newsmakers.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, as we are taping this, there is less than 2 weeks to go at the legislature. Brian Wachter joins us. He's the Senior Vice President of the Retail Association of Nevada. State Senator James Settlemyer was just on before you. Looking at legal action over this two-thirds opinion that came out of the LCB, where do you think this is heading, and do you think this is going to end up blowing up the end of the session?
Well, a lot to unpack there. One, I don't think it blows up the end of session. We've seen that the Democrats have this opinion. We haven't really seen or heard that in the next 2 weeks they're planning on using it to get out of session. In fact, I think you can look at what the money committees have been doing over the last week and where they're being able to find money, where they're reallocating it based on priorities. So I'm not sure we're going to see it, but it is certainly, it's kind of a ticking time bomb that's out there. And I think for a lot of us, it's because it represents such a huge departure from past precedent. Throughout the entire sunset provisions of in 2009, going into 11, going into 13, and then finally into 15, all of those votes required two-thirds. So I think it's interesting to see how that's shifted and why all of a sudden we have kind of a different take on that subject.
All right, so do you think that those two taxes are not going to end up being extended, that they're going to find the money elsewhere? Because Senator Settlemyer says there's plenty of money around.
Well, I mean, we certainly have had, you know, I think it was an 11% increase in revenue over the last biennium. So that's almost, you know, an extra $700-800 million to spend. And now a lot of it is already built into the budget because we have case roll-ups and whatnot. But in some of those instances, like school enrollment is actually down. So the amount of money that was maybe dedicated to that doesn't have to be where it was. Caseload, I believe, in Medicaid, there was some changes. There was a $42 million pickup there. So there is money that is available, I think. It's just a matter of how the legislature wants to prioritize that. And I would hope, and I don't know this, but I would hope that if they're still looking at the MBT, that they would seek to find some sort of compromise as opposed to this constitutional crisis that they might be starting.
And, you know, and it's interesting. I mean, you're talking one vote here preventing the Democrats from moving forward with their two-thirds majority.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, I think about it more. It's about 13 vote difference and Senator Pickard's difference, and this would be a different conversation. But I think, though, that you have to take a look at that. And just because you run into maybe that particular hurdle doesn't necessarily mean that you have to, you know, seek out a legal opinion that says you don't necessarily have to follow the will of the Constitution. And for me, what was, I think, more egregious in that opinion is it almost seeked to say that the power from the people was maybe less powerful than the power of the legislature. And I think as a citizen, that gives me pause, because something through direct action of the people should weigh more than maybe a choice by our representatives in the legislature.
Okay, teachers' pay. Where are we heading with this at this point? Because the unions are apoplectic about what's been proposed so far. Again, Senator Settlemyer is saying that this is devastating for rural schools. Where do you think this is all heading?
Well, I think that's the million-dollar question, right? We've got 14 days left. We still have an education budget, although the legislature did close the DSA last week. Whether or not they have the amount of money, I don't believe there will be new revenue to address that, or there doesn't seem to be the conversation in the building to provide new revenue. So I think it'll be about reprioritizing what's currently there. And if that's the decision they want to make and uphold that 3% promise, then I think they have to make sure that there's enough going into, say, the Clark County School District's budget to where strategic budgets don't have to be reopened to allocate that raise. And I think that's the big concern, certainly as a parent, on what needs to happen going forward.
What did you think about this idea of shunting pay raises for the second half of the biennium to the local counties?
Well, I think it's a little bit convoluted. I think you're talking about AB 309,
right,
and the amendment from Speaker Frierson.
Right.
I think the bill does some good things. One, it kind of seeks to define the 70 or so different revenue streams that we have going into education. But on the 0.25% sales tax increase, I'm not sure how the mechanics get us from the Clark County Commission to, say, the Clark County School District. It's six, you know, I think, definitive categories. It can even be spent on affordable housing. It could be spent on homelessness. And then it looks at teacher retention and pre-K. But I don't believe it can actually go towards K through 12 education. So I think we're still waiting on how that money might get into the education system.
But when you look at Washoe and Clark County's sales tax currently, it's pretty high.
This would take Washoe, I think, to above 8.5%. And that is very high.
Okay, so I mean, you know, the counties are not going to be very thrilled about even taking this up, let alone the voters.
Well, as a voter, I'm not thrilled. I think if the legislature sees a need for revenue, that's where the conversation should be taking place. And I hate to say we've only got 14 days left, but if there is a need for revenue, we should be having that discussion here in Carson City and not kind of, you know, delegating that conversation to the county commissions.
But then the governor would have to break his no new taxes.
Well, I think here we have a situation where a lot of groups have come together and said, this is what we need. If the legislature vets that and says, yes, we agree, then I think they should have the conversation about new revenue. If they vet that and they say, no, we don't agree, then I guess that lets them off the hook for the revenue increase.
Okay, stick around. Will you hold over to the next show?
Perfect.
All right, we'll be right back.
A bird's eye captures its surroundings at different heights. At Brian Culpa Photography, we can make your imagination soar over buildings, parks, cityscapes, and beyond. Brian's images tell the story and get the job done. If you need a new perspective to tell your story, contact Brian today. Brian Culpa Photography. Experience the bird's eye view at brianculpaphotography.com.
Hi, my name's Marilyn Miner, and I'm sure you'd agree that Nevada's a very special place to live. I was born here, and my husband and I have raised our family here. I feel it's a privilege to live and work in the Truckee Meadows. I especially enjoy helping my clients reach their real estate goals. Sometimes the smallest details provide the greatest satisfaction. I'd be complimented to talk to you about your next move.
Call Marilyn Miner at Dixon Realty, 742-1280, or log on to marilynminer.com.
St. Ives Florist, for every holiday and every special occasion, for romance. Custom home design. We have the largest selection of fresh flowers in Northern Nevada. And we also offer a large selection of unique gift items. Come see me, Lori Ann, at St. Ives Florist, 700 South Wells Avenue, or call me at 333-9190.
Pro Group Management is the place where companies can find workers' comp solutions that are designed to meet their specific business requirements. As regulations evolve, Pro Group takes a proactive approach to clear the path to make sure your business stays ahead of the curve. Knowing your workers' comp program is optimized, you can focus on other important matters related to your growing business. Pro Group Management, workers' comp that works for you.
In addition to NevadaNewsmakers.com, you can also watch Nevada Newsmakers on YouTube. Subscribe to our YouTube channel. We'll see you on the next broadcast.